The talk you're about to listen to is a presentation of Penn State Crew. To find out more about Penn State Crew, or to find more talks, music, and videos, check out PennStateCrew.org.
When I get nervous, I get really tired and I start yawning. So if I fall asleep, you'll know that I'm really nervous up here. And we've got a PowerPoint just to keep me on track here. But I don't know why they invited me up here to speak to you, because I'm actually going to share with you that there are a lot of risks on Summer Project, and that really you shouldn't take these risks and you shouldn't go on Summer Project. You heard me right. I really don't think you should take the risks and go on Summer Project. First of all, it's just completely irrational to go on this trip, and it's really not worth your time, your sacrifice, or your effort. In convincing you not to go, I really hope just to share and dig through some reasons why it's just not really worth the risk. First off, what is risk? And I think John Piper has a great definition here. And he says, an action that exposes you to the possibility of loss or injury. And so let's think through risks a little bit. Like for me, I think back to when I tried to do a backflip into, like, off the high dive, and I landed on my back. I shouldn't have taken that risk. I think back to, you know, I see that special someone, and I try and go talk with them, and I just make a complete fool of myself. I shouldn't have taken that one either. And then a more recent example, I'd say, is going to Taco Bell at 3 a.m. and getting 10 bean burritos. So, guys, risk is bad, and there's a lot of danger involved in risk, and I don't want you guys to experience that danger, so don't take these risks. So now that we've defined risks, I want to talk about some specific risks of Summer Project, and those before you have kind of touched on some of the costs and some of the sacrifices you'll have to make, but I want to just share some on the personal level. First, you'll have to go somewhere new and strange. You're going to have to leave home. I mean, summer, you go home. You make money, you do what you want. Summer Project, you don't get to do that. So people are telling you what to do. The summer should be the time for you to relax and chill, for you to pursue your own plan, your own career, your own internship. Stay at home, stay with your family. Pursue your own plan. What some of your friends didn't tell you is the cost of Summer Project. You're going to have to beg for money, guys. And this whole, like, groveling on your feet, asking for money, I don't know what your parents think of it, and I don't know what you think of it either. So that's going to be a risk, too. And for me, a big one is just I'm not spiritual enough. You know, yeah, maybe I'll get to that point in my faith a few years from now where I feel ready to go. I feel ready to walk up to a stranger and say, like, hey, can I tell you about Jesus? Or can we just get in a good conversation here? Those are some of the risks. And I think the bottom line is it's just not convenient for me to go. So in summary, we've defined risks. We've gone through some of the risks. And, just don't go. But I want to leave you with a demotivational picture. So if you can't see it, it says risk. If you never try anything new, you'll miss out on life's many disappointments. So guys, don't go on Summer Project. Okay. judging from your cheerful reaction, I guess you don't want to go on Project. I was expecting more this awkward silence, but hey, that's okay. But I hope that you feel confused and misled that I just went through why you shouldn't go on Project, because now I want to convince you why you should go on Summer Project. I really hope that you're just unsettled with kind of some of the things I went through, and that you started to realize just how selfish and kind of narrow-minded some of those things were. And yet, I found myself, as I was applying to Summer Project 2 summers ago, just thinking through all these things in my mind at one point. Oh, I'm not spiritual enough. Oh, that's just way too much money. I want to do my own thing. I want to do this. I want to do that. And maybe Summer Project isn't one of those. And I want to say that those are perfectly natural thoughts, and you're going to have those doubts and just confusion. And unlike me trying to convince you not to go on project, I think those doubts can really lead you to trust Christ more. So as we kind of transition into this new perspective of looking at things, I want us to focus more on a longer perspective and not just looking in the short run, like, oh, what is it going to cost me, or the danger. And I really want to look at some of the rewards, and physical and also eternal rewards of summer project. So I heard some of you laugh about this picture. That's not me. I actually just Googled that. But I want to start off with an example. My dad is here tonight, and he's going to be sharing in a few minutes. But my dad is very forceful with making us as kids have a good time, as in we go to a water park. I'd say I was like 6 or 8 years old, and you know, I look up and see this massive black hole of death water slide, and my dad says, "Hey, let's go." And you know, I'm not up there, so I say, "Yeah, let's go." And we get up there, and it's this two-person raft, and I'm in the front of it, and my dad's in the back, and I'm seeing the water gushing in, and I'm hearing people in front of me go down and screaming, and I'm like, no, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. I look back at Dad. I'm like, get me out. And he's like, no, you're gonna love it. We're gonna do this. Calm down. And I'm looking at the lifeboat, like, no, don't listen to my dad. Don't listen to him. Come on. And people are going down. It finally gets to our point. And right when I'm about to pee my pants, like I'm thinking of bolting for it, and I don't care the shame of like walking down to all the people waiting in line, dripping wet. But we get. The lifeguard shoves us off, and I'm like, the back of my seat, I can just plaster it against my dad, and I'm thinking, I am going to die right now. And if that's really illogical, if you think you're in a tube, like, how's that going to happen? But I was a kid, so I'm just freaking out. And 10 seconds in, I realize I love it. And we get to the bottom, and I'm smiling, and I look back to my dad, and I just don't want to say anything. Because it was awesome. And I think in the same way, that's where a lot of us are at now. As we view Summer Project, it's this massive black hole, and we're not sure. What we see is incredibly different from what our dad or from what God sees for us. And he sees and knows that we're going to reach the end of the ride, and that we're going to love it, and we're going to want to do it again and again. So I think a really good question to ask is not what is Summer Project going to do for your plan, your career, your relationship status, your, you know, 5-year plan, but the question should instead be, will this action force me to rely more and more upon Jesus Christ? And just change the way we view this opportunity, and so we focus less on ourselves and focus more on Christ. So now that we've kind of looked at this new perspective, I want to talk a little bit about the rewards of Summer Project. There's HBSP table over there, and I'm in some of those pictures, but I had the opportunity and blessing to go with Kristen Rackley, Tim Skiles, Tim Weimer, and Jennifer Hendricks to Hampton Beach. And really, for me, money was a big issue, just thinking through, this is going to leave a dent. Kind of, where am I going to come up with this money? And my family was in China at the time, and I was thinking, this is going to keep me away from them, and I really want to see them. And just a lot of doubts. Like, the devil's, if you apply, and the devil's going to throw all these doubts in your mind. Is this right for me? Is, you know, I'm really going out on a limb here. He's not going to show up. And I want to say that at the end of project, every one of those doubts was just demolished. And every one of those questions I had was answered in a majestic way. Some doubts going into the project. Within the first week, I remember the first day walking in, and this is a 3-4-story house, 55 students in this team. And I remember walking onto the porch, and people are like chilling, making small talk, and just like, am I going to get along with these people? I need to get a job. Where am I going to work? Is God really going to use me just in this environment? Am I going to have an impact on the people and some of the strangers, the people I work with? And I found out that the bigger my doubts were, and the more risks that I was looking at and just fearing, the more God showed up in those times. And I shared a room with three other roommates, and within weeks of going, these guys were my best friends. And, you know, just coming in after work, we'd talk, we'd chill, and every second just wanting to spend more time with these guys. I had the amazing opportunity to work at probably the biggest corporation in the world, McDonald's. And Tim Weimer worked with me. We had a blast just with a lot of Dominicans, a lot of Bulgarians, and there's going to be a picture right there of that, actually. And that's only a fraction of our coworkers, but God really, he gave me the chance to see one of our coworkers come to Christ. And it's just so humbling. And so as I was nearing the end of project, just I was so humbled. And on project, I didn't always have the time to think through just how much I had learned, just how much God had showed up, different conversations on the beach. And I think if you step out in faith and take these risks, he's going to show up in amazing ways too. The experience of summer project helped to set my heart on fire for reaching the lost and to devote myself to his word and will and to love and serve my brothers and sisters here all the more. And I'd like to invite my dad up now to share a little bit about his experience with summer project, his being here at Penn State, and just some thoughts for you as students too.
Well, I've known Justin for 21 years of my life, and he was 2 weeks old, and we were living in Indiana near Indianapolis, and we wanted to send a video home for Thanksgiving for my parents, and I was holding Justin, my wife had the camera, and we put this little Penn State shirt on him, and it barely fit, even though he's only a two-week-old baby, because he was so wide. He was about as wide as he was tall at that time, and we did this, I say Jopa, you say Turno, Jopa, Turno, Jopa, Turno, so... It was brainwashed in early age. 1976, I was on Greek Row and heard one of the speakers share James 4, that life was a vapor. And at that time, it didn't really seem like a vapor to me, but that's what the scripture said. And it challenged us to live our lives in light of that vapor, that would be a short time and over. And it doesn't seem like it was that long ago that I was at that meeting. And what stood out to me at that time and since is that if you think of the end of high school, you look back, the seniors are going, oh, if I could have done this over again, oh, that was so wonderful. Or the seniors in college, those of you that are grad students, think back to your senior year, oh, if I could have done this and that. It's always the way it is. At the end, it gives us the good perspective to look back. And with scripture, we know that the Bible says life's a vapor. And to me, that gives a context for the risks. The benefits are always greater than the risks. And we as a family, went on projects at UCLA, reaching international students, and then in China. And just want to mention a couple of the lives that were changed. We had a student on our project named Dave, and the project wasn't even his first choice, but he fell in love with international students, went overseas the next summer, and then went to China at a minorities university, saw this man come to Christ. He's now a leading conductor in China, and he does the Handel's Messiah, the full concert, in the big cities. We got to see it in Tiananmen Square, or in the Forbidden City, right behind Tiananmen Square in the concert halls. People standing, singing the Hallelujah Chorus in Mandarin. And so that was an example of one life changing another life, and now this person hopes to do it in every major city in China. We also have a privilege of projects in our country. We work with a man that was in the military and was part of the guard for the Great Hall of the People on Tiananmen Square during the massacre. Things shook him up, heard the gospel on the radio, came to Christ. His life was so changed, he started all these house churches. People he'd share the gospel with came to Christ. And he now has a Bible school for people in their 20s to learn the Bible, and then they can be leaders for these house churches that they started. And so, to me, the benefits outweigh the risk. Would love to tell you more stories about Justin, and I'll be sitting over there if you want to know more about East Asia.
So kind of in summary here, I started by sharing why, from a selfish standpoint, you should not go on summer project, and then talked about why you should and just the eternal reward. and the question to be asking yourself. I want to end with a challenge that really, I think, will challenge you where you're at right now, and especially where I was before, just thinking through whether Project was right, and just battling these different ambitions and desires to go on Project or not. And it's from the Christian magazine called World, by the writer Andre Sue. She has some sobering words for us, particularly as Christians who spend a lot of our time talking about evangelizing others, but doing very little of it. If you want to put it up, you can. So she writes, "It seems to me we're always getting ready to share the gospel and never actually sharing the gospel. We're forever describing it to each other. We fill our notebooks with neat insights from Christian conferences. We are entertained by C.S. Lewis and Bonhoeffer, the very men who warned us against making the gospel an academic problem which is worth discussing with a good master. Someday we'll be sitting in nursing homes still mumbling to ourselves the names of Berkower and Warfield. We rob each other. How do we rob each other? By not risking anything all day long, so that we give no room to God for the glorious testimonies he is waiting to hand us, that we might encourage each other. God is glorified in the demonstration of the difference between our natural ability and his miraculous power. Risk-taking is nothing fancy, just an everyday pressing into little things that we have no confidence of doing without the help of God. Take risks. Trust Christ. Maybe go on Summer Project. Spread his love and message. Amen. Thank you."
The talk you have just listened to is a presentation of Penn State Crew. Crew is a community where the gospel captures hearts, transforms lives, and launches men and women into a lifelong adventure with Jesus Christ. To find out more about Penn State Crew, or to find more talks, music, and videos, check out PennStateCrew.org. That's PennStateCRU.org. This talk is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. You are free to copy and distribute this talk to others as long as you do not do it for commercial purposes or alter, transform, or build upon this talk in any way.